Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
If you will grab the notes that are there in your bulletin that you received when you walked in this morning, follow along with us today. We're going to begin a series for the next few weeks on the God you probably don't know. The God you probably don't know. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the deal. I am very much aware that once you mention the Holy Spirit, there's all kinds of thoughts that enter out throughout this room. For some of you, you immediately go to, whoa, don't get weird on me now. For others of you, it's immediately to tongues. For some of you, it's, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's there, but he's not doing everything he did before. And for some of you, it's, the Holy Spirit's really weird. Now let me just tell you a little secret. The Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird. Okay? The Holy Spirit's not. And so I'm very aware that all of us come different backgrounds, different ideas, different experiences, different ways of looking at things. But how many of us understand it's not about what we experience, it's not about what we think, it's about what the Bible tells us is true. And so what I want to do is kind of help you understand the God you probably don't know. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning, what we're going to look at is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? First thing, the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit on earth. I got great news for you. Let me give you another definition. The Holy Spirit is God. When you say the Holy Spirit, you're saying God. When you say the Spirit is with us, God is with us. He's called the Spirit of God. He's called the Spirit of Christ. There are a lot of names mentioned. It's the Holy Spirit. They're all the same. Well, Pastor, which is it? Spirit of God, Spirit? Yes, it is. It's kind of like if I'm talking about the house that I live in, I would say it's my house. If my wife is talking about it, it's her house. And you all know whose house? Never mind. If we're together, we might say it's our house. Which one's right? We all are. It's both right, isn't it? And so we understand that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is God's Spirit here on earth. Look at John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Advocate is the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Lives with you now, Jesus is there. Will be in you later after the day of Pentecost. He's going to dwell in them by the Spirit. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples. His disciples are a little upset because he's told them he's leaving. Now, remember, these men have banked their careers and their life on Jesus being the Messiah. Everything is invested in him. They left everything to follow him, and now he says, I'm going away. Now, how would that make you feel? If your whole life had been turned upside down and you had given everything away, and now he's going. And so he's trying to get them to understand, look, I'm going, but I'm going to leave you another. There's going to be another advocate. John 16, verse 5. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, who is who? The Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Now, here's what Jesus tells them that they didn't get, and I don't think we do either. He simply said this, guys, the invisible Holy Spirit in you is better than the physical Jesus with you. Now, think about the implications of that. In other words, Jesus himself is telling us it's better for you to live with the presence of the Holy Spirit in you than it is for him walking beside us. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been times that I think, boy, I wish I was walking with Jesus. I wish he was right here so I could know what to do, know what to say, know how to do it. I just like to see it. I like to follow him. And he says, look, I've got a better idea. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send someone who will be with you, and you need him more than you need me. Now, do you know that God? Do you understand the implications of that? 1 John 4:13. God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. So today, we can literally say, God is with us. Now think about that. That you have available to you this moment, God to help you. How does he do that? His Spirit, who comes to dwell on this earth for our benefit and for our help. And his presence for us is better than the presence of Jesus. Let me give you one reason why. I'll just give you one. I give you many, but let me just give you one. Jesus, when he was here on earth, could only be in one place at one time, couldn't he? So when he was somewhere, it was just that group of people. The Holy Spirit here on earth can be everywhere at once because God is Spirit. And so you and I recognize that the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit that is alive on earth, present on earth today, right now. Wow. That's big. That's big. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is part of God's salvation plan. He's part of God's salvation plan. From the very moment Adam and Eve sinned, God had a solution for the human sin problem. If you'll remember when Adam and Eve sinned, remember they had tried to cover themselves? And after they sinned and admitted it, God brought to them the clothing of animal skins to clothe them, implying there had been a sacrifice. And so God said, look, I'm going to provide a sacrificial system for Israel as a part of their worship, and it will demand a blood sacrifice. Now, when we talk about a blood sacrifice, for you and I, that gets a little gory, doesn't it? I don't fully understand that. Why that? I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, puts it this way. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. I don't understand that completely. But God has told us, if there's going to be forgiveness, blood has to be involved, doesn't it? That's what he says. Hebrews 9:9. This is an illustration pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to clean the conscience of the people who bring them. So here's what we know. In the Old Testament, whenever they'd bring a sacrifice to the priest to offer in their behalf, that it never cleaned their conscience. They still knew they were guilty. Verse 10. For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. So we understand from the beginning, God had a better way. He instituted this. This is the understanding in the Old Testament. If you're going to be forgiven, you got to offer a sacrifice. Why? Because if there's forgiveness, blood has to be involved. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. The old system, under the law of Moses, was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. Not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under the system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So here you have the sacrificial system. They had to do it because of the ceremonial issues that God demanded. And God looked at that and accepted it, but the people still felt guilty. But through Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice was offered. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in time past. In other words, God's a gracious God. He took care of those before this time. Verse 26, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. So God says, look, when you believe in Jesus Christ, his dying on a cross, the shedding of his blood, and when you accept that as payment for your sins, you can be cleansed. You can be saved. And we see the progression of what the Bible is about from the beginning, the fall of man, the sin of man, man's problem, man's sin, how God had to deal with it, and God did to once and for all offer the perfect sacrifice that didn't need to be offered again. Now, here's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. Look at John chapter 16, verse 8. Jesus is speaking. Talks about, and when he's talking about the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Now, Jesus tells us that he, the Holy Spirit, is going to do three things when he comes. Number one, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. He brings conviction. Conviction means to convince. And so the Holy Spirit convicts or convinces the world of sin. Right now, today, the Holy Spirit is all over the world dealing with people about their sins. For every one of us, he is convincing people of sin. He is letting them know, that's wrong. This is not right. You say, well, if he's doing that, why isn't everybody turning to God? Well, it's very simple. Because you have a free will, don't you? You can do what you want. You can say no, or you can make an excuse. Well, I don't think I'm so bad. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with this. Well, I'm a good person. I don't really think you need to go that far. I'm not sure I really need that. You can come up with all kinds of excuses and ideas. But the Bible tells us that you and I and all the world has a problem. Now, when he's saying he's convinced the world, he's not talking about the planet. He's talking about people. And so his job is to convict lost people, convict us even, about sins. Now, that's a good thing, isn't it? Now, if Jesus came to die for our sins, that means we're sinners, correct? I mean, if he came to do that, that means there's a real sin problem. And if I refuse to admit my sin, then in reality, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Because he's telling me there is sin, I can't deny that. And if I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. And the Holy Spirit, right now, is convicting the world of sin. Right now, even as a Christian here today, there's some things in your life probably that you know aren't pleasing to God. That's the Holy Spirit. He's letting you know, that doesn't please me. He's letting you know, that's not right. He's letting you know, you should stop that. You should change this. That's the God I know. And so the Holy Spirit is still at work. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But people come to Christ because of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3. I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings us to a place where we admit Jesus Christ is the Lord and His death on a cross paid the price for my sins. And if I will accept Him, He will forgive me. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. But He's not done. There's more. Jesus also said there in that passage that the Holy Spirit will bring righteousness. Will bring righteousness. Jesus said that righteousness is available because He's going to the Father. Now, remember what I told you about, what we just read about, that in the Old Testament, whenever they would offer the sacrifices, it still wouldn't cleanse their conscience? Remember that? Remember what we said? They still felt guilty because of everything and it still didn't cleanse them? Well, I got great news for you today. Because of the Holy Spirit, we can know we're not guilty. Now, let me define the word righteousness, because I think sometimes we have mistaken. We tend to think it's somebody who's perfect, somebody who's got it all together. Oh, they're so righteous. You know, we tend to think it's that. In reality, what it means here is this. It means you're in right standing with God. You're in right standing with God. And the Holy Spirit helps us to be in right standing with God. Hebrews 10:12. Our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, and there he waits. Notice, he's waiting until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts. I'll write them on their minds. And then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. See, here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit brings a witness and convinces us that we've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you and I can go into the very presence of God. Now, you see, in the Old Testament, they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, the priest, once a year. That was it. But now you and I can go into God's presence because of God's Spirit who's alive in us. So the Holy Spirit not only convinces us of sin, not only convicts us, but when we accept the sacrifice of Christ, he then tells us, come on in. You don't have to stay outside because you're not guilty any longer. You are forgiven. You don't have to carry guilt along with you. I forgive you. God forgets it. And you are in right standing with God. Your conscience can be clean and you don't have to be guilty anymore. Wow. Well, Pastor, I still feel guilty. Then you don't know the God I know. Because the God I know, the Holy Spirit, has forgiven all my sins. I am in right standing with God. Now notice, I did not say I was perfect. I'm not. Neither are you. But I can have right standing with God because of Jesus Christ. And I can go into God's presence with confidence. And God's not going to tell me, get out of here, you dirty, filthy guy. He's just going to invite me in. Romans 8:15. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit, when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. You know, there's some great words that I love in the English language. One of them is dad. That's just a great word. But over the last few years, I've recognized there's another word that's really great. Papa. Papa. When I hear those words, and I can go to God, Papa, Dad, Father. Well, can just anybody do that? If the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, lives in you, you have access into God's presence, and you can go with confidence. And that confidence is given to you because of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. That's the God you need to know. Maybe you don't know him that way, but that's who he is. And so Jesus says, look, I'm going to go away. And it's better for you that I go and I leave, because I'm going to send somebody else. And he's going to do something far beyond what you can imagine. And he's going to come and he's going to convict the world of sin. I don't need to try to convict everybody of their sin. I don't need to stand here this morning and convict you of your sin. You already know. Now, we're good at trying to make other people feel guilty, aren't we? Some of you are professionals at it. Okay? We're good at trying to judge other people and you're this, you're this, you're that. But that's not our job, is it? The Holy Spirit does the convincing, not us. And he'll convince. He'll convict, and when I receive him, and when I accept him, by accepting the work of Christ, I now have him alive in me, and now I am no longer guilty. And I can go before God without guilt. Now that's a great way to live. And that comes by the Holy Spirit. Then he says he's going to do one other thing. He says the Holy Spirit will bring judgment. He brings judgment. He said judgment will come because Satan has already been judged. Remember what we read? Jesus is waiting for his enemies to be made, the footstool that's there. One day that's all going to happen. Satan's already been doomed. Satan is already a defeated foe. Satan no longer has authority in our lives. He has been doomed and he has been judged, and the Holy Spirit lets me know that I don't need to listen to him. All he wants to do is accuse me, tell me how wrong I am and how bad I am. That's what Satan does, but the Holy Spirit wants to forgive me and wants to live in me and wants to declare me not guilty. And so I know the future, and I know that the Holy Spirit, as we've read this morning, he's not only with me now, the Bible says he's going to be with me forever because he will never leave me. And I get to live a life in a relationship with a God who loves me, who cares for me, who loved me so much he was willing to send his son to die on a cross to be the sacrifice for my sins, to shed his blood. And when I accept that, the Holy Spirit comes to live in me and to tell me I'm no longer guilty. And I have a relationship with the Father. What a great God. That's what he does. That's who he is. That's what he wants to do in your life. That's what his work is all about. But there's one other thing that he does. The Holy Spirit is God's strength for me. He's God's strength for me. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the other ends of the earth. Now, here's one thing I know about life. Life's really hard, isn't it? Life's tough. Life's not fair. Life is really difficult. And I don't know about you, but I've come to learn, you know what? I don't have the strength to deal with all the stuff I got to deal with. I don't have what it takes, and I don't think anybody in this room does either. I need more power. I need power to live for God. I need power to be a witness before people and how I live and what I say. I need help. Now, don't I said it for you. You don't have to say it. I need help. You all know that. I know it, okay? I need help. And God says, look, not only am I going to let you know you're not guilty, I'm going to give you the power that you need. I'm going to give you the strength that you need to live the life. Visions 1:19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Okay, you must not get it. Let me explain it to you. What this verse says is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that when he rose from the dead, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and assumed all authority in heaven and earth because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That same power is resident in me today. Now, let me just ask you a simple question. What problem you got that's too great? What is it going on in your life that's bigger than being raised from the dead and defeated all the forces of all the heavenly realms? You got anything greater than that going on? Well, what we just read says you need power. I'll give you power that'll just, you won't comprehend. In fact, the word power many times is dunamis. It's the same word we get our word dynamite from. I'll give you power. You can blow everything up. I'll give you power. You'll have all the strength that you need. You will never face anything in your life that's greater than the power of God. Now you say, well, Pastor, you know what? I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. I just don't seem the power. I don't seem to have what it takes to deal with it. Then you don't know the God I know. You need to know the Holy Spirit because he will help you and give you the strength that you need to deal with whatever you're facing in your life. And if you just try to do it on your own, you're going to struggle. And our biggest problem is, well, I know the Holy Spirit's there, but I'm not sure I want to let him do all that kind of stuff. After all, I may get weird. And after all, something may happen. I'm not sure I want to do that, and I'm not sure I believe all that. And, well, okay, go ahead and struggle with all your junk. But you see, when we let the power of God be alive in us, he gives us the strength that we need. 2 Peter 1:3. By his divine power, Holy Spirit, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. And these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. The beginning, I titled this, The God You Probably Don't Know. Do you know the Holy Spirit in a way to realize that he is God and that he's alive today and present on this earth and that him coming to this earth was more critical, so critical that Jesus said, I need to leave so he can come. And when he's here, he does his task of convicting and convincing people of sin, which is a good thing. And he lets us know that we're forgiven and accepted before God, and that we serve a victorious God who is greater than all things, and that Satan's been doomed, and we can live with God eternally, and that we have all power that we need to live the life for God. Do you know him? Do you know him like that? Because if you don't know him like this, he's the God you probably don't know. Because the Holy Spirit is here for us today. And he's here to help us. And he lives in us. And he loves us. And he cares for us. And he lets us know that God loves us and will help us. That's who the Holy Spirit is.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.